giving a report really on the teaching that I give in Africa. And the importance for that teaching is really highlighted in this letter that Mr. Ed Reed received from in New Zealand from Bishop Edward Osombo from the Church of God Universal Incorporated in Africa. I gave our brother Ed the addresses of some of the contacts over there that I have, and he sent some of these books to George Sisu, who has been selling everything he's received on the streets. And he says, "I bought your booklet on the street in Kenya, in Migori district, called The Believer and Spiritual Evil. What caught my eye was spiritual evil. It was on April the 2001. A few days later, our national convention for the Church of God arrived at our doors. That was on June the 12th and 16th. I tried to share the book to our pastors, missionaries and elders in the form of a photocopy. I actually made copies by church funds from the Church of God. Suddenly I was invited before the Board of Trustees to question my stand doctrinally because the book I distributed under funds was powerfully opposing our doctrine and belief in this Church of God. We believe that dead can speak, can be consulted, and most of us are practicing witch, while in the church can speak to the dead and get answers in a miracle way. This is popular among churches in Tanzania and Africa, where crystals are popular and graven images in pockets and homes of so much professed Christians. I stand like Joshua and told them I would separate myself with their cult if they don't want to stop practicing sorcery and witch. I was sacked, but still waiting to meet the annual National Board Council of Missions for East Africa to speak with me. Valueless. I disagree already to attend their meeting with me." And then he just closes off by saying, in a handwritten, "Enclosed you will find my crystal that was given to me with one of the magicians here in Africa to protect my body and also help some miracles of fame, fire and winds to appear. Wherever I preach, healings will also sometimes occur, but through magic power. I bought it for $500 US. Please kindly show it to the brethren, then destroy them. I have Jesus now. Thanks for the freedom from strong cult. So feed me and our people. Signed, E.G.O. Now, I want to concentrate this morning on the great need for teaching. And on the little sheet I've handed out, is there anyone who hasn't got one? Stephen's got some spare copies. Just put your hand up if you haven't got a copy. There are a few left over if you would like one. It's again on church leadership, and the heading is Shepherd Care. What we have in Africa is, as a brother recently said to me, Christianity is an inch deep and a mile wide. And I'm beginning to wonder just how many of those who profess to know the Lord Jesus really know him, and what other things are mixed up even with those who do know him. This chap who's come out of the Worldwide Church of God along with eight other pastors, there are over 650 people associated with those eight or nine churches. Now, I would say that they need to be taught from the very beginning the gospel, and then, starting from there, lead them to faith in Christ and then to build them up. And I think that this is the thing that we have to understand. Now, we're going to speak about shepherd care because if you saw my slides on Kenya, you would have seen two slides towards the close. One of a building that has collapsed, and the owners were very seriously injured. It was just a new house collapsed. And without the right foundation and without the right building spiritually, without teaching, Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let everyone take heed how he builds thereon. We need a good foundation in our teaching. And the other slide is of a memorial to over 600 people who died when a ferry sank, the Bukoba sank in Lake Victoria in 1996. There were no survivors. We read of those, Paul writes to Timothy, about those who were imbibing false teaching, promoting false teaching, and it says of them that they were making shipwreck. They were making shipwreck of their lives. And so teaching must hold a very important part in the local church, in Kenya, Tanzania, in Australia, and wherever we are as Christians. So just go through our notes. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And so good means the genuine and true shepherd. Shepherd care begins with the Lord Jesus. In that book of Ezekiel where John was reading, it speaks of the false shepherd who muddied the waters, who trampled down the best pasture. They had no care for the flock. They had no love for the flock. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 10 speaks of false shepherds. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, the Lord Jesus said. Why? What does the wolf care for? His stomach. He's only in it for what he can get. And I've got to say, this is George Cecil to a T. He is only in it for what he can get. I don't believe, and I'm not saying anything about this man that I haven't told him to his face. George, you need to be saved. You need Christ as your Saviour. And so the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the genuine and the true shepherd. He is the one that we can really rely upon and really trust. He made us. Psalm 100 teaches that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So in a general sense, all people on earth are sheep, because Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And in Luke chapter 15, where the Lord told those three beautiful parables. Firstly, there was a sheep that was lost. He had 100 sheep. One went astray. And he left the 99 in the wilderness and he went searching till he found the sheep that was lost. This is the Lord Jesus in his shepherd care for every man, woman and child in this wide, wide world today. And when I first heard this and read this in the Bible, as a young man of about 22 years of age, it was as if the Lord was speaking to me personally, and I saw myself as a lost sheep and the Lord Jesus as the seeking Saviour, and that encouraged me to come to him. My concept of God was not then as it is now. I had a great fear of God, a dread of God, but I didn't know him as a loving God and as a God of infinite love and grace and mercy. And so the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd came to give his life for the sheep. Here is the proof of his love. And we as sheep, we turn everyone to our own way. And while we're in that condition, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for good people. There are no good people. He died for the ungodly. And Psalm 23 is the psalm of his shepherd care for us. Only eternity will reveal the blessedness of that psalm to innumerable souls. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, if I'm lying on a deathbed, I don't think there's anything else I'd like read to me more than this. Wouldn't it be wonderful just to have these words ringing in our ears? And I've actually read this to dear ones that I've been beside as they're going home to heaven. What a comfort to be able to part here below, sharing these words with our loved ones, knowing that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as the psalm ends. Isn't it a blessed thing to know Christ as our Saviour? I wonder if there's a young person here today and you've heard all of this before, but you haven't stepped over the line. Oh, may the Spirit of God give you that great hunger and desire. I was witnessing to a lady that some of you know quite well this week. And I said, have you accepted the Lord yet? She said, oh, I know about it, but I don't understand. It just hasn't hit me. And I said to her, you need to search for God with all your heart. You need to look for the Lord. You cry out to God. We are told to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Have you cried out to God? Have you seen your need? It's a terrible thing to be on the brink of eternity and one slip. You know, the psalmist says that our feet are in slippery places. And in a moment, the wicked are gone. They're prospering, the psalmist says, like the green bay tree. Everything looks fine. And all of a sudden, they're gone. And I look for them and they're just not there. Where are they? They've gone into eternity. We never know the moment or the hour. And the most important thing in our life is to know the Lord Jesus as our own shepherd, to make him that. He is the one who gave his life for you. And if you cry to him and seek him with all your heart, you will find him. That's his promise. And people who are not finding the Lord are not really seeking for the Lord, because he's promised to meet us if we will search for him with all our heart. And there are so many people in this country that just play acting with God. They have a veneer of Christianity, but they don't have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And I want to say this, that as I travel around among assemblies of the Lord's people, this sickening thing is also affecting many Christians. And there's a lethargic attitude towards Christianity in general. And there's not the hunger and the thirsting after the Word of God. And I speak to my own heart as much as anybody else here today. There's not the hungering and the thirsting after the Word of God that there should be in our hearts as well. Entertainment value is sweeping through the churches and it's dragging the numbers in. Place after place I go, entertainment. The platforms are covered with the drums and all those sort of things. And they're emptying out the little assemblies out in the bush and dragging the numbers in. But what are they holding them together with? I want to say this. I thank God for the love in this assembly. And that is the first thing. Without love, we are nothing. Is that correct? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 teaches very clearly the need for love. And I want to say this. There is love in this meeting in a way that I have seldom experienced. I did experience it in some meetings in New Zealand. I thank God for that. This visit, I could sense it there. Real love. Just the way they came up to me and they welcomed me and the things they said to me. It's just like being home. We must have love, but we also must have teaching, brothers and sisters. The reason that I meet with you is because I have convictions on the Word of God. Is that why you are here? Are you here because you see that God has said certain things in his Word? Are you here because this is where you long to be? David longed to be in the house of the Lord, didn't he? Saul had chased him from amongst God's people and God's presence in the temple, in the tabernacle. And he had a great longing and a great hunger. Why are there so many Christians who don't have this? Are they saved, or what is wrong with their Christian life? That they don't have this hunger to be amongst God's people. They don't have this hunger for fellowship. They don't have this hunger for the Word of God. Is it in our own personal lives that we're not spending time with God? We're not spending time around his Word? Is it that we are not having time in prayer? Do we find prayer a burden? I have a great battle myself in prayer. My mind seems to want to wander. These are things, brothers and sisters, that we here at Wamuran can be exercised about. But you know, the Lord Jesus is a good shepherd, and the Psalm 23 is the psalm of his care for us. The Lord is my shepherd. That's personal. I hope we can all say that today. He feeds me. He leads me. He restores me. He is with us even through death. He chastens and comforts me. He shows goodness and mercy to me. And we will dwell with him in the house of the Lord forever. That's a very quick overview of the psalm, isn't it? What a comforting thing it is. And so the Lord Jesus sets the example and standard for church leaders to follow in relation to shepherd care. Now Peter was, there are two callings. The Lord Jesus called Peter, firstly to salvation, and then he called him to service. And under that calling, I've given a little heading, calling. Peter was firstly called to salvation, later he was called to shepherd care of the Lord's flock. You know, the Lord Jesus was walking along the seashore and he saw them washing the nets and mending the nets and dragging the nets. And he said to Peter, James and John were in their father's boat. And he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If we will only listen and hear that call, that's an initial call. The Lord is calling us to follow him. I believe he calls everyone to follow him. But only a few hearken and will follow him. The Lord is not long-suffering to us and not willing that any should perish. And I believe God speaks through creation, as Merv was reading this morning. Creation in Isaiah. God speaks through creation. God speaks through conscience. God speaks sometimes in a dream, in a vision of the night, and sometimes through a sickbed, and sometimes through a messenger, according to Job 33. And above all, God speaks to us through his word, if we will only have the heart to hear him. Peter was called to salvation, and the Lord said, "Look, follow me, Peter, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And the Lord can make something of our lives. Jesus made Peter into a new man. He made him a man of God. He made him into a soul winner. Peter preached and people were converted. He taught Peter. He corrected Peter. He encouraged Peter. And I'm greatly encouraged by Peter's life as I read it in the Gospels and then in the book of Acts and also his epistles. Peter is a wonderful example for us to encourage us too as the Lord calls us to salvation. But then later he called him to shepherd care. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John and read a few verses together in the last, I think it's the last chapter, chapter 21 of John's Gospel. Verse 15, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" Notice the different word, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. "He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" And so here is his call, Peter being called to serve, to shepherd care. The elders are really under shepherds. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. All those things are said about him in the New Testament. He's the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, Psalm 22. He's the chief shepherd who cares for the sheep, Psalm 23. And he's the great shepherd who's going to appear for the sheep, that's Psalm 24. And so the Lord is calling Peter. And he's calling him here to feed my lambs. And the word there for feed is bosca. It means to feed from God's word. To feed from the word of God. And you know, if the sheep are fed, they will not wander. We need to feed the sheep. That's what you have in Psalm 23, isn't it? "He makes me to lie down in the green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters." And there's a very important lesson for us in leadership, and that is to feed the flock of God. In fact, the elders are charged with that responsibility. We'll look at that later. And so he's calling him, he says, "Now you are to feed them from the word of God." And then he says, "You are to tend them," because that's the New King James is a better translation here than the Old King James. It brings out the difference between the word feeding, bosca, and the word tending, which is poimeno. And the word poimeno means to pasture, pasture my sheep. And that means not only to feed them from the word of God, but it has in view other acts of shepherd care. Okay? You know, it's not all from the platform here. There are brothers here in this meeting, elders, who do a tremendous amount of work behind the scenes. I know that. And it's elders' work. They're tending the sheep. They're feeding them from the word of God in personal counseling, but they're also caring for other problems that they have in a spiritual way. Okay? They're tending the flock. The sheep get sick. They get lame. Maybe they get foot rot. Maybe they get wounds. You know, Psalm 23 speaks of the oil, doesn't it? The oil. The shepherd uses the oil, the medicine, for healing. And this is all part of the under-shepherd's work to care for the flock. Peter later wrote, you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, isn't that a wonderful statement? We never say, the Lord is my pastor, do we? Have you ever heard that said? And yet that's the word, if we want to use the word that is often used by the translators for shepherd. Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R. pastor. The Lord is my pastor, but it's not a good translation. Some men are hung up on all these titles, you know. They love titles. But the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd, and he leads us to pasture. And that's the word poimeno, to pasture the flock. Okay, I've been a farmer. You want good pasture for the flock, for the cattle, and get the milk out of them when I had a dairy farm. They wouldn't milk on the molasses grass. You had to get the guinea grass and the legumes among it, and then they would milk. You've got to lead them to good pasture. And they need clean water. It's very important to have them clean water. James, I'm one who lost his cows. He took them to water. What happened? There was something in that dirty water that killed the cows. And so we need good pasture. And the work of the shepherd, poimen, that's the word, shepherd, poimen, translated pastor in Ephesians. The word means he is a shepherd. That describes the man, right? And his gift and his calling. But what the work he does is to pasture, poimeno. You understand? He is to feed and to tend the flock. That's the overview of the shepherd's work in that area. And so here I've given you this word. What a translation. How would you like it like this? You were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the pastor and bishop of your souls. Not a good translation. And this is one of the problems we have in Africa with the translations. You know, for the word overseer or bishop, they just put leader in the Luo Bible. And I have to go in and I said to William Akota, William, is there a word that describes overseer, bishop? The word bishop means to stand in a prominent place and oversee the flock. You're looking out over the flock. You get the thought? Oh, here's a good pasture. Oh, there's good clean water. There's the wolf. You get the picture? He's looking out attentively with the shepherd's heart for the flock, looking out for the best pasture to feed them, the best water to give them drink, the waters that flow through the Holy Spirit. Get the picture? The living word of God ministered under the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. If we feed the flock like that, brothers, they won't wander. There will be great blessing. What a need there is to be exercised. You know, God, the Spirit of God can exercise your heart about this. And only he can do it. I can't do that. It's something that the Spirit of God, allow the Spirit of God to touch you and to move you. We read of Samson, he was moved by the Spirit of God. Let us pray that the Spirit of God will move us in ministry of the Word. And as elders, we need to wait on God. We need to be sensitive to the present needs of the people of God, and we need to minister to those needs in a practical way. There's a lot of ministry, and I'm not saying it's here. I'm not saying that, but I've sat under it. And it aims at nothing and it hits nothing. And the saints come empty and they go away empty. I was talking to Brian earlier and I said what a blessed meeting it was this morning, and he was saying how he came tired and that, and how he's refreshed. Brothers, that's what we want. We want to be refreshed by our coming together. And you know, as we worship the Lord, as our thoughts are directed on him, how refreshing it is, isn't it, to our hearts? What a blessed thing. And so there's a great deal of confusion. The good translation is in the New King James, and yet the New King James fails in other areas. Somewhere, in some places, it puts bishop instead of overseer. Why aren't they uniform in this? Why in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where we have the qualification for elders, why do they put the word bishop when they use overseer elsewhere? I can't work it out, except they've got a mind bent. The translators are human, just as we are human, and they have a mind bent. But brothers, get yourself a good concordance. Get yourself Vine's dictionary of New Testament words particularly, and have a look at these things. And like Timothy, you know, he was exhorted to give himself wholly to these things. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. People will stay here for the love and be attracted to the love, but if we want to really hold them, they need to understand why we do things as we do, what we believe, why we believe it, why we do these things. And so translators cause confusion by using pastor instead of shepherd and bishop instead of overseer. The shepherd pastors the flock. The overseer stands in a prominent place and oversees the flock. He watches out for the wolf and searches for the best water and pasture. Now, I hope you've got a folder to put these away in, because it might be a long time before we get back to this. But I want to say this, some of you young men, you need to be exercised about this teaching. That's why I go to the trouble, hours, to put this together. Why? Because you're the ones that have got to take over. We who are the elders are getting older, some of us, and we won't always be around, okay? What's going to happen? Who are the young men now that are going to take up the responsibility? Who is the Lord speaking to? Who's prepared to give themselves to these things wholly and to become a man of God? But you, O man of God, isn't that tremendous? Paul writes to Timothy, you, O man of God, give yourself wholly to these things. Don't allow the world to push you into its mould. Give yourself wholly to these things. Go in for them. It's the thing that really counts, isn't it? The things that's really going to last. Our third point. Peter was both an apostle and elder. Can we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5? We're centering a little bit on the life of Peter here, because he's the one the Lord has left to us for an example. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God. There it is, poimeno, tender care. Vigilant superintendency is behind that word. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, that is, bishops. If you really want that word, you can put bishops there, but it's not in vogue. It doesn't convey the meaning at all. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. In other words, the work of elders is a difficult work. Not only do I get letters from Africa threatening my life, but I've even had one recently from Australia calling me for everything. Okay. In reply, I said, well, Peter, Paul wrote that he had good report and he had evil report. And Spurgeon said, you know, the best of men have their enemies. Not that I call any brother in the Lord my enemy, no matter what he says or does. They're not out calling me for everything. Okay. In reply, I said, well, Peter, Paul wrote that he had good report and he had evil report. And Spurgeon said, you know, the best of men have their enemies. Not that I call any brother in the Lord my enemy, no matter what he says or does. They're not our enemies. We have an enemy. We know who the enemy is, don't we? Satan. He's the enemy. Not our brother or sister who may even harbour these things against us. But it is the enemy of souls that is behind all of that. And so he was both an apostle and an elder, we read here. Peter was an apostle. The apostles appointed elders in all the churches. You can look that up in Acts 14, verse 23. There were also elders serving alongside the apostles in Jerusalem. And I touched on this the last time I spoke, so we're not going to centre on that. But remember how Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem and they called the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter of the problem of some were coming down from Judea, some legalistic Pharisaical men who said they were Christians and they were teaching the disciples, you've got to be circumcised to keep the law of Moses if you want to be saved. And Barnabas had a great, Paul had a disputation with them. I guess we would too, wouldn't we? I guess we'd take them on head on, wouldn't we? I hope we would. Okay. We should. Take them on head on, yeah. We are not the concision, that's the mutilation of the flesh, alright? That's practiced in Africa, by the way. We are not the concision, we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and in truth. And we have no confidence in the flesh, okay? Who worship God in spirit and in truth. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? We have no confidence in the flesh. And of course, circumcision points to the fact that cut away, right? Cut away. And we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what it points to. It points to a new life in Christ. The cutting away of the old things, the fleshly things. And so there were elders serving alongside the apostles in Jerusalem. The Lord appointed 12 apostles, but there were many elders among the early disciples. That's obvious from the book of Acts. Paul called the elders of the church at Ephesus, and we can turn back to chapter 20 of Acts very quickly. I hope you were right when you said that that clock was 3 minutes fast. Richard. Of course, if I was in Africa, it wouldn't matter, but I'm not in Africa, so we'd go for 3 hours. Acts chapter 20. Then, of course, they've walked for 2 hours, some of them, to get to the meeting. And so while they're there, they want more than just a half an hour's ministry. They want feeding, and that's what they do. They go on for up to 3 hours with their meetings. So in Acts chapter 20 we have Paul in verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And then going down to verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves, he's talking to the elders, and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, no, overseers, to pastor, no, shepherd is the word, the better word, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now there you have both those words again. Koimeno, to shepherd or feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, and also the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So Paul called the elders of the church and he told them to shepherd, that is to pasture, koimeno, the church of God. And the elders were made overseers or bishops among the flock by the Holy Spirit. They were to feed or pasture the flock from the word of God with other acts of shepherd care. But I want you to notice verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also for among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So elders have to watch. Firstly, there's an oversight. This word watch has the thought of an oversight. Peter says we're not to be busybodies in other men's matters. That's a similar word. It means that we're not to have an oversight in matters that don't concern us. Some people are always meddling in other people's business and causing problems, aren't they? Some people are like that. We're to have an oversight over our own lives, not over others in matters that don't concern us. Okay? So he says watch. Watch over your own life and remember. Keep in mind, learn the lessons. The things that have happened in the past that have come across our experience view, we need to remember those things and be watchful in relation to those things in the future. Our next point is that Peter exhorted the elders to shepherd or pastor the flock and to serve as overseers or bishops willingly and not for dishonest gain. Now our last reading is in the book of Titus, and it's chapter 1. Verse 5, for this reason Paul writes to Titus and says, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Now what was this? He was to set aright what was defective. He was to restore what had fallen into disorder. Paul's previous teaching in Crete, there was departure from it. And I'm finding in Africa some of imperfectly understood. Others weren't there and haven't understood at all. And so we've got to go over these things, brothers. Just because we've had it here now doesn't mean in 12 months that we don't need this teaching again. We've got a new lot of people coming in. And what you hear from me now, you might get 10% of it, 20% of it. I have been 42 years learning this and coming to an understanding of what I know. And I've still got a lot to learn. And so by repetition,
things start to gel more and more in my this Africa experience has opened this up more to me than ever before. And let us not despise the teaching of the Word of God, even if you say, well, I've heard that before. Because we need consecutive, constant and consecutive faithful teaching of the Word. So Titus was to appoint elders in every city. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, that is, he's not a polygamist. We have that in Africa. They can be. I stay in a home of a man who has four wives. One was dying when I was there the last time. William's father has three wives. He's the son of the elder's wife. So this is the situation we face. So he must be above reproach. No accusation proved against him. That's blameless. Not sinless perfection. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. And then going down to verse 9, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. There are those who will contradict and speak against things. So Titus was to appoint elders in every city to teach the faithful. Now another word for that is wholesome word. It's the wholesome word, the sound word, faithful word, wholesome word, sound word. We got a little magazine here called Wholesome Words. Now, it's a little bit heavier, but I want to say I've had that magazine over many years. We've had the brother here that actually puts that together, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. A bit heavier reading, but it doesn't hurt us. You know our problem today, we sit and watch TV, and everything's flick, 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 isn't it? Instant interest and short span stuff. No effort in that, and you know, we flick channels. I'm the worst at that. Flick, flick, flick. There's only one who's more worse at it than I am, and that's young Robert. He gets the controls when he arrives at our house. He's not here to hear me, but if he were here, I'd still say this. And he goes flick, 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 flick faster than I do. What is it? Our attention span is very short, and we're looking for something to hold our interest, but we need to get in to the deeper things of the Word of God and to search a little deeper. Okay. From this we learn that elders are the shepherds and pastors and overseers or bishops. These are doing words and not titles to be worn as badges of distinction or authority. And so amongst us, God has raised up gifted ones. I've made a little note here, it's not in yours, but for comfort. Now, our brother Merv has a very comforting ministry. We had that this morning. He tends to have that ministry of comfort. Merv has a ministry of edification, doesn't he? Spencer. He has an edifying ministry, and Albert, what does he do? Exhortation. Is that right? He kicks us. So, you see, God gives different gifts, and we need to realize that we're all different, but God has given these gifts for the edification, for the exhortation, and for the comfort of the saints.